born of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. Now he's the ruler of the kings of the earth. And we're going to make that clear in Revelation and Rome. But to us, who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, he looks at us totally differently. He deals with us differently. Verse 6, and he's made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. John don't have no problem with God being great. God worked this out where in that Old Testament system, the priest went into the first room. They didn't go in the second room. Only the high priest did once a year without blood. The worshiper never got in that building, that the two-room tabernacle. You stay outside. Now you're priest to God and Father. Jesus brought that about. So there's been this transference from the domain of darkness into this world where your king loves you and has paid the price for your sins to be forgiven. And so in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 17, our second point, we see our king at work in creation. And I'm going to go through these verses and illustrate it with two different verses. In Colossians 1:15, in Jesus, our king, and he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Jesus is God. I mean, you're looking at Jesus, you're seeing God. You're seeing the one who is the firstborn of all creation. In rights and in dignity, he's the firstborn. The firstborn gets double portion. Esau sold his for a bowl of porridge. Oh, gave up enormous being the firstborn. Had inherited everything, dignity. Christ is the firstborn of all creation. He rules everything. In fact, verse 16, he created it. And for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. You read Genesis 1:1 and you don't see Jesus. Because God had a plan. Foreknown, predetermined, the Son would come and die on the cross. So we held that back. But you read Hebrews 1, quoting Old Testament verses, Jesus is God. And he's the creator of all things. Everything came through him, and his purpose is to serve him. He's part of the Godhead. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Our king controls and holds together the whole universe. If you have struggles and troubles, you have someone that can do something about it. Well, look at Psalms 50. Psalms 50, verse 7 through 15, and I always think of this verse first when I think about God being a creator, but it's several verses here. Psalms 50, beginning in verse 7, and talking about God the judge, and he's going to mildly rebuke Israel, verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I'll speak, O Israel, I'll testify against you. I am God, your God. Yeah, you're not doing exactly what you should be doing, but we're not going to bring judgment on you. Verse 8, I do not reprove you for your sacrifices and your burnt offerings are continually before me. You're bringing me offerings. I see it. We need to tweak some things here. But I'm not getting on you because you're bringing them. You come to worship, you're bringing offerings like you're supposed to be doing it. Verse 9, I shall take no young bull out of your house, nor male goats out of your folds. Verse 10, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm not after your animals. I'm after your reverence. When you're bringing the animals, I don't need the animals. The animals are mine. I'm creator of all. And on 10,000 hills, they're all mine. I don't need another animal. What I need is some proper respect when you bring it. Verse 10. Every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. Verse 11. I know every bird of the mountain, and everything that moves in the field is mine. Verse 12. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all it contains. I don't need you. If I needed something, I can create it. There's more to this. You're not doing me a favor here. You're showing me how you appreciate me from the heart is what we're wanting here. Verse 13. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of male goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you and you will honor me. Why are you coming to worship? Why are you bringing these animals? It's not that I need the animals. It's so that we have a relationship, and when you're in trouble, I will come and deliver you. That's what worship is about. Why do we come? We're trying to, what? Escape the wrath of God to come by being faithful. And secondly, we want to be blessed by the relationship. And that's what, you know, and we understand that. But Jesus is Creator. So we're not doing him a lot of favors. It's really more for our benefit. Well, go over to Matthew chapter 6. In talking about Jesus upholding all things, holding all things together. And he's talking about, you know, why you shouldn't be worried. Why you shouldn't have anxiety over the little things in life, the basic things when things get bad. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Yeah. Look around. We're holding things together. We're feeding all those billions and billions of birds out there. And they can't even work for it. You know, we're working that out. We're holding everything together. You know, verse 28 through 30. And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. You know, Jesus had respect for Solomon. You know, Solomon did some, you know, big things. But he can't compare to what God can do. We're talking about just the area of clothing and the lilies of the field. Just observe. Look around you and see what God's doing. How we're keeping this all going. Verse 30, but if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Faith is important. Faith brings a lot of things into play on your behalf. And if you look around, God's doing so many things. Jesus is the sustainer, upholding all. Your king, who you serve, is a kingdom of light, not darkness. His intentions are for your welfare. Satan's intention is for you to sin, to feel guilty, to feel miserable, spend your life, and you know, deceived, believing lies, and, you know, hating and being hateful and all that stuff and singing hallelujah. No. We've got a new king here who knows about the needs of birds and how wonderful lilies are. And we're more valuable than them to him. So, you know, you got security in this kingdom. You know, go back to Colossians chapter 1, 18 through 23. And we see our third point, our king's at work in the church, you and me. Are the beneficiaries of this King of heaven and earth working in our behalf. Colossians 1:18. He is also head of the body, the church. He's also. Oh, he created all. He sustains all. He's also head of the church. Correction, we'll talk about that next Sunday morning. But we have a direct connection to Jesus. And we're part of the beloved group. And he is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead. Yeah, like he was firstborn of creation. Jesus died, and God inserted life into him. Part of the big plan. And he's the firstborn of the people of eternal life. He has rights here in this eternal spiritual world out here. Verse 18, he's also head of the body of the church. He's also the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. that he might have the preeminence in everything, in the church, out of the church. That's God's goal for him. And of us, of all of us people like John, let him have the glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, we're for Jesus here. We're glad he has eternal life, as we saw. And everything you see, it's all going to come back to Jesus and him possessing, him being the seed and having the promise. And here we are connected to it. Verse 19, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. People looking for God, you need to look to Jesus. There ain't no part of God outside Jesus Christ. The fullness of God dwells in Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, church, and in him you've been made complete. Oh, being baptized into Christ Jesus? Being clothed with Christ? Oh, you're complete. There's nothing lacking. You and I look at ourselves and we see our failures and our frailties, and we start to focus on that, and we forget who our King is and forget that we've been made complete in Christ, and we probably just need to humble ourselves and do a lot better. Verse 20, chapter 1. And through him, God's good pleasure for the Godhead to dwell in Jesus. You have to deal with Jesus. That's what Jesus kept saying to the Jews. You know, he has judgment. All the Father's judgment has been handed over to him so that he gets the glory. Verse 20, and through him, to reconcile all things to himself. God was going to use Jesus to bring, if he could get people to drop their animosity, it'll be through Jesus. And God wants those people to be his people. We're going to use Jesus to bring about the reconciliation process. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. It's not Isaiah 53. It said Jesus, God will look at the anguish of his soul and be satisfied. I mean, Jesus crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Here you have God who's the Father, and his Son's dying innocently for a bunch of sinners, and God's looking for that anguish, that he's paying the price for sin so that there can be peace between God and the sinner. Verse 20, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, it's through him it's going to happen. It's not going to happen any other way. It's through Jesus. And now he turns to the Colossians. He turns to you and me in verse 21 and 22. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, and yet he's now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death. Boy, thank the Lord. Alienated. Hostile in mind. Not wanting to do the will of God. Oh, I sent somebody to counseling over to Brent not long ago. He said it's the first time in 30 years somebody walked out on him. First, he was shocked. And they made it clear. They mocked him, he said. They mocked him. We're talking about a member of church. Which side are they on? They're alienated. I mean, to do a preacher and someone you know and to mock him when he's always trying to do, get you to do the right thing. Boy, you be thankful that you're not longer alienated and hostile in mind toward God. You want to challenge God now? You want to challenge him on the day of judgment? It's not going to happen. No, the righteous is going to meet the Lord in the air, and the rest of the people, they're going to get the degree of punishment is going to be settled out. At that point, it's not going to be no discussion. Verse 21, although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Boy, that was Jesus. That's the death of Jesus. That's the goal. To get you before God where you're blameless. Beyond reproach, where there's no, Satan's going to want to accuse you. But all your past sins are what? Have been paid for. Your King fixed that problem. So you see this morning, Jesus has the promise. He's the seed. He's the Savior. He's the ruler. We have a new world order out here in the spiritual world. The demons recognized that before Jesus would die and was resurrected and ascended to heaven. They knew, why are we being punished before our time? They knew it's coming. They know there's a timetable on them. Well, you and I are no longer alienated. We've been reconciled. We're on His time. Verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you've heard and which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I am Paul, was made a minister. Paul's preached that the whole world knows. You know, he was at Ephesus for 3 years. He said all Asia heard. People took that message out there. Everybody heard it. Now everybody's heard it. Jerusalem's probably got a problem. Rome's probably got a problem coming because everybody's had a chance. And here the Christian, they're there if indeed they remain steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, eternal life. They're there. All they have to do is stick with Jesus. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. You and I have also been raised from the dead. We're no longer dead. We have the life of God within. 1 Corinthians 6:17, anyone who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with Him. You and I are faithful, and we die in 10 minutes, we're still one spirit with the Lord. The body's the only thing keeping us between being personally in the presence of God, is this human body we're living in. Jesus rules, whether anybody acknowledges it or not. That's what Peter said at Pentecost, and if you're not on our side, your enemy is a god, and God's going to make you a footstool for His feet. That's God's goal. So the enemies have got a problem. You know, and some of those people said, what shall we do? I mean, they heard all them Old Testament quotes, and they put it together that that was right. And it was happening today on this Pentecost in AD 33. And there were people being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that was promised for them and their children and all those who are far off, the Gentiles, Acts 2:39. And now they're following the apostles' teaching. The Lord was adding to the number of those who are being saved. Peter preached that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the anointed one. And you killed Him. Can you imagine the depth of the sincere people who were baptized that day? The depth of pain. Realizing you killed the Son of God. Who came to earth and lived in a physical body. And you were with the rest of them. Voting to put Him to death. Living in a domain of darkness. Following some leaders who were jealous because He was leading people away from them. And you voted for a criminal, a murderer, instead of Jesus, the Son of God. And you say there's no domain of darkness? These weren't ignorant people. They had hundreds of years of an Old Testament history and Scripture. Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful I've been delivered from a domain of darkness. You look back and there's a lot of changes took place for the better in our lives because of that. And we haven't made a lot of mistakes that a lot of people just continue to compound. And we can learn to let things go. I mean, instead of letting them control our lives, we can let a new power work in our lives. And we can be loving. We can be forgiving. We can forbear. You know, we can do a lot of things that we personally don't want to do. But you know what? There's a new power working. Called Christ, our King. If you need to respond anyway, won't you come as we stand and sing?